I give you permission to take control of my life for the rest of my life. I had no idea what I was saying at that moment. Right after I said those words, I met my wife. I literally gave my life to the Holy Spirit, had to use the bathroom.
And she was in there.
She was in the bathroom.
You're like, hey, what are you? Wrong room. Are you in the men's bathroom? Dude, do you want to marry me?
That's terrible.
Shout out Holy Spirit, dude.
Dude, hey, that's how you work sometimes, man.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Logos Podcast. This is Max.
This is Joey.
And on today's episode, we've got a guest with us, Jaden. How do you say your last name, man?
Ramirez.
Usually you say a very special guest. Is there a reason you didn't say that with him? We just found this guy.
So here's the thing. If every guest is a special guest, then no one is a special guest.
Oh, my gosh.
So you've been demoted.
Maybe I'm the special guest because all the other people that are special, and he said that about all the other people.
And see, this is why we have him on, because his logic, strong, right. Creativity,
man
strong.
Man of faith and reason.
Logos
strong.
Logos strong, baby. You know.
So funny. No, Jaden, how do you say your last name again?
Ramirez.
Jaden Ramirez. Welcome. Yeah. Glad you're here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, dude. So happy to be here.
Before we start talking to you, we have to talk to our listeners real quick. Hey, listeners how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
It's been a little while. We didn't record last week.
Yes, it has been.
But hope you're doing well. Hope Lent's going. It's Lent, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
But if you're new to Logos Podcast, welcome. Max and I are seminarians who are studying to be Catholic priests, and this podcast is all about sharing the beauty and the richness and the goodness of the intellectual and spiritual tradition of the Catholic Church with you. So glad you're here. To our patrons and our longtime listeners, thank you for your continued support and your prayers. We're always praying for you. I wonder if they believe me when I say that, because it's true. We do pray for them, but I say it every episode, and they're probably like, this guy's full of...
No, Joey's not. Not in that regard.
Thank you, Max. So I think that's everything I have to say. Okay, so sweet. We have this guy who we found.
I'm off the streets.
We saw him just like getting some tea, actually, just in some boba tea. Joey had never seen it. And Joey was like, dude, what is he drinking? I was like, yeah, that's boba tea. What are you talking about? So we went up to him and he was drinking boba tea. He's like, hey, we're about to go record a podcast. Cool camera with the boba tea. Come in the studio.
It's a great story.
And so now we're here.
Right. And I happen to be Catholic,
and
too.
And it happens to be Catholic.
Happy coincidence.
Now, so Jane, tell us a little bit about you, man. Who are you exactly?
Yeah, that's a big question. So
give us some basic biographical information. and then we'll get into the details. Okay. So don't tell us everything.
I will say I am Filipino. So all of the Filipino viewers out there, dude, I'm here to represent. We're out here on Logos. So
they out here on Logos.
Yeah. My name is Jaden. Jaden Ramirez. I'm from Virginia Beach. And all my life I've been born and raised there and moved here. I've been working as a missionary at this place called Damascus. You might have heard of it before. It's a lay apostolate. And their mission statement is to awaken, empower, and equip a generation to live the adventure of the Catholic faith through world-class programs and environments of encounter. So if you've been wondering
that's on their chest, forehead, back of their neck.
Inside of their eyelids every night.
So. And then recently I just left being at Damascus, and now I'm doing full-time content creation for the Catholic Church. So,
which is exciting, and which is why we wanted to have you on.
That's true.
Well, Max, you wanted to have him on.
See, here's the thing. I didn't say special guest. Joey didn't even want him on.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So, why am I here?
No, but it's true. Max really did want to bring Jaden on. Why, Max? What was intriguing
in
to you about
all
what he's doing?
Transparency, Jaden. Mm-hmm. I came across your content several months ago, and we had been in correspondence for a while now, at least like tagging each other, social media.
Messing around.
Goofing.
Just out here silly goosing.
And, you know, that's how it happens with social. I think it's one of the beautiful things about social media, actually, is precisely the ability to encounter others' work and other persons now. Mm-hmm. And so I ran across your stuff a while back. I think John Donahue from Truth Charting was sharing some of your stuff. And I was like, yo, who is this guy? And we've had John on before.
We had him on,
And so I was like, okay, I'm interested in this guy. I've been following your stuff. And then after the New Year's, I saw a switch in your content creation and just in your persona And so I was like, okay, what is this guy really about? Who is this man? And so I decided to reach out to you, invite you after following your work. And that's kind of the progress of events.
And then Max said, hey, there's this guy. I was like, cool, let's do it.
That's literally how that happened.
Pretty much it. So I have a lot of trust and faith in Max.
There we go.
Thank you, Joey. Joey, hey. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, man. You're welcome. Let's see, Jaden. Okay. You right now, you said you're doing full-time Catholic content creation.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Like, how did you... This is what we want to know. We want to know your story. How'd you end up doing this?
Yeah.
You know, you were at Damascus for a while mm-hmm. doing that missionary stuff. Mm-hmm. Presumably doing media work for them. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Well, tell us about that. Tell us how you found Damascus. Tell us how you met the Lord first.
Yeah, that's good.
And then go from there.
Well, let's just start off. I didn't really know Jesus as a person until I was in high school, I would say. I grew up in a Catholic school, grew up Catholic, didn't grow up in a Catholic school, but I grew up.
That would be kind of weird. Jaden was born in a lab, dude. All right. That's what this is. And then he just happened to be in a Catholic school. All right.
No. I grew up Catholic and my parents raised me Catholic, you know, Filipino heritage, like very dominantly Catholic religion.
Yeah.
And I went to Catholic school all my life. But it wasn't until high school where I really realized that I wanted to take my faith seriously and I wanted to do something great for God.
What made you realize that? That's crazy.
Yeah. What made me realize that was my brother. So my brother went off to college at UVA, and I remember him just having a terrible freshman year in college. Mm. And as, you know, he's my only sibling, so as like little bro, you listen to everything about like what your older brother's experience is. Mm-hmm. And I just literally remember him writing me a letter back home, and he was telling me about how God was so necessary when he went to college. And I just like didn't really understand that at the time, mm-hmm. you know, as a high schooler.
True.
I'm like, why would he my brother's never like done anything like that, like wrote me a letter, and he wrote me something, and it was talking about God. And that was like one of the biggest things for me, is like I wanted to follow Jesus because someone introduced me to him.
Mm. Wow.
And so that kind of ties into why I'm doing what I'm doing, is that we're able to have faith because it was because of the faith of others mm-hmm. that introduced us to our Lord. And I know that what I'm doing right now is really leading me to that. But to hop back into my story, I was in high school. I remember going into the chapel every single day. And it was so sad because, like, for a long time in the morning, I would be praying in the chapel. I'd pray three Hail Marys because at the time, that's all I knew how to pray. Boom. And what to pray. Yeah. And I'd specifically pray each Hail Mary for a specific intention. And I like literally remember this moment, like looking at this golden box in the corner of this room and asking myself, is God actually in there? And I would do that day after day after day with no response, no change. And I would literally look at the candle, because I like look at the candle right next to the tabernacle and be like, God, if you hear me, please be like, please make like a flicker happen or something like that.
Dude. I did the same. I do the same thing, you know?
I know. It's like real. But one time it did like blow up like out of the candle. It was like kind of crazy. No, but in high school, that's like that's all I had until I met a guy, you know, this whole entire theme of meeting another person that really just represents the figure of Christ. I met this guy. He was a youth minister at a local parish, and he started to disciple me. And when I was going into my senior year of high school, I like started to realize, I'm like, I actually want to follow Jesus because it seems like there's a path that I get to choose, a path that isn't planned out for me, a path that isn't like something I already know far down the line. It's truly an adventure. And so after high school, I went to college. And at college, I met my wife before I went to college. I actually met her as a senior in high school.
You're married?
Yes, I am.
It's kind of important.
This is the first time you're mentioning your own
wife. Better, dude, yeah. Dude, better give her a shout right now. You have the time to redeem yourself.
We said at the beginning, hey, tell us about yourself. He said, shout out Filipinos. He didn't say anything about his wife.
Not his wife. Not his wife.
Yeah. Well, my wife is the most amazing woman that is on this earth.
Bold claim. Hot take.
There we go.
Hot take.
There
you go. You just made that beautiful, like, that reflection on faith comes from, like, others sharing with you. And I'm thinking of St. Paul, right?
Yeah.
Faith comes from what is heard, which is so important. And if he goes on to say, like, and if no one goes out to preach, how can anyone hear the faith, right? Yeah. So it's like, and this is beautiful in the way, like your brother, that simple letter, right? This is the way God saves us. He saves us. He doesn't want to save us by ourselves. He wants to save us with others. He wants to bring us as a family into his home. And so he uses others in order to draw us in. So, okay. So now that was just a thought. Yeah. Continue with your story.
Dude, that's good. Definitely hopping back and forth in my story. So
that's good. You're in college now.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
Well, I think something important before I hopped to college.
Okay. All right.
Would
you gotta go backtrack.
I went to, the Steubenville conference, and I was at the Steubenville conference, and I remember like the Lord, like, someone from the stage, like there was a speaker on the stage, and he like delivered this awesome, amazing talk. And at the end of his talk, he said, you like, if you guys want to follow the Holy Spirit, I want you to repeat to me. I want you to repeat what I'm saying. And it was, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to take control of my life for the rest of my life. And as a 17-year-old, I remember like truly like repeating those words right after adoration. And I have no idea. I had no idea what I was saying at that moment, but I understand exactly what I said now. Yeah. Because truly, when you give your life to the Holy Spirit, marks the beginning of an adventure, that will just be totally, unthinkable, and it's something that just can't be planned out. Because when I said those words, right after I said those words, I met my wife. And so that's kind of funny, because I literally gave my life to the Holy Spirit, had to use the bathroom because I was so tired. And
she was in
the bathroom.
You're like, hey, what are you, wrong room? Are you in the men's bathroom? Dude, you want to marry me?
That's terrible.
Shout out Holy Spirit. Dude,
hey, that's how you work sometimes, man.
No, it was so funny because I literally, after I said that, I just started walking back to the back of the room, and there's this girl. This is literally after I said, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to take control of my life for the rest of my life. And there's this woman that is sitting next to my high school best friend, and she's like, hey. And like, your name's Jaden, right? She's like, do you want to sit next to me? And I was like, what the heck? I was like, no. And then I kept going to the bathroom. But it was like, that was like the moment I was like, holy cow. I was like, right away, like the Lord prepared something for me. Mm-hmm. And the first initial steps, you know, with the spouse that I am now with, it's just like, she was right there, right after I gave my yes to God. And I'm just like, if we all keep on giving our yeses to God, like just in a hidden way, God keeps on throwing seeds at us to see that. But that leads me to now. So now that woman is my wife. But in college, what happened was she went to this place called Damascus. So Damascus is unlike anything that I've ever experienced in this world. It's just full of young adults that truly are living the charisms of the Holy Spirit. And that's not wrong at all, because there is no traditional, there is no charismatic, there is Catholic. And that's what I've seen at Damascus, because I've seen young men and women live out the Catholic faith fully, wholly, and entirely. And I see people be transformed by that. But Lexi went off to Damascus in 2019, and I was trying to get an internship at my hometown, which ended up failing horribly.
Awesome.
I was a wreck. I tried to work as a parking attendant and was getting paid $10 an hour, and getting scorched up by like 90 degree weather. And it was just a terrible experience. And I literally remember seeing text messages from Lexi saying, yeah, we learned how to hear God's voice in prayer. We learned how to, pray for healing. We learned how to use the prophetic. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, what is this place? Yeah. So she comes back home and she's just a completely, totally changed woman. And from there, I was like, whatever happened to you at Damascus, I want to happen. Like, I want that to happen to me. And I went to and left for Damascus. And that was when I truly like realized, I was like, this place is a cult. This is not of God, but that's not true, because I, for so long, have had such a lens on what Catholicism should look like. The whole kneeling, standing, hands folded, and my eyes were so shut off to what God actually wanted to do in my heart. And I actually saw that there. I saw what God wanted to do in my heart. And I saw the men and women that were standing right next to me that wanted that too. And that was something super special. And in a unique way, God called me to stay at Damascus and to leave everything. And we could dive deeper into that. But yeah. I ended up becoming a full-time missionary at Damascus. And now I just left there recently because the Lord is calling me to a bigger adventure.
So Damascus, when they have like these missionaries come, yeah. They come. So Lexi, for example, your wife, when she went for the first time, she served there as a missionary. So she like led yep. retreats and things. And then mm-hmm. maybe even did she go out to parishes around the area?
So a lot of missionaries come to Damascus for the summer. So gotcha. that's what happens, is that there's a bunch of summer missionaries and then some stayed at for the whole year full time around. Mm-hmm. But for over the summer, that's how like a lot of missionaries cool. come in.
So I want to transition into this other pivotal moment, which is where about I encountered you.
Yeah.
So I had known you were doing social media things. I had known you were kind of making your own brand, really developing yeah. your own kind of style method yeah. Of evangelization. But then something happened,
yeah.
which we talked about on the phone for about yeah. an hour, mm-hmm. Regarding another encounter with our Lord you yeah. had in a very profound mm-hmm. way that now takes yeah. you beyond Damascus, right? So you yeah. were with Damascus for a while, then you moved, and exactly. I want to hear about that, and I think our mm-hmm. listeners would like to hear about that part of your story too.
Yeah, so if I was working as our social media manager at Damascus, we were affecting over millions of people. Like I remember opening my phone, and I would see that this testimony of a kid reached over 3.8 million people or something like that. And
it's a lot of people.
I was just like, wow, I'm doing, you know, work for the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But something in my heart, I was at this place, you know, that was so alive. I was at this place that there's just so many people that were chasing after Jesus. I was at this place that it seemed like everything was perfect. Yet there's something deeper hungering in my heart, and I couldn't ignore that, because although I was affecting millions through my work, God just wanted to affect my heart, and that's when I really took into prayer the difference between doing God's work and doing God's will. There's this cool analogy that my mom gave me. I remember trying to give her a Christmas present. And if you're a young man that doesn't know what to get your mom, I know what that's like. And I remember just like, you know, my mom wants this. She told me that she wanted this thing for Christmas. And let's say like it's a mug. She wanted a mug for Christmas. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my mom wants this mug for Christmas. I'm going to give her something that I think is better. So let's say I just give her a cutting board for Christmas. because I know that she needs it. I remember there was a specific moment when my when she opened the presents and she's like really looking for this mug or whatever, and she sees a cutting board, and like just the face that I saw on my mom, like it was confusing because didn't I give you something? You know, didn't I give my mom something that I thought she would love?
And which was good.
Which is valuable.
Which is great and which she needs.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what she wanted. It wasn't.
It's what you imposed on her.
Yeah.
It wasn't what she asked for from you.
It wasn't what she asked for. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this was like the crossroads that I had with the Lord. Because in the scriptures, it says that, like, it says, Lord, Lord, did we not, you know, cast out demons, prophesy in your name, raise the dead? And the Lord says, he says, depart from me, for I do not know you.
Hmm.
And that was a distinguishing factor for me. If I'm trying to think about doing his will in this other way, and like seemingly it appears good, which it is, it could be, but it's not his will, why am I doing it? And that was the crossroads that I had in my heart, because I was like, yeah, we're affecting millions of people here, but yet, Jesus, you just want to affect my heart. And it wasn't until God brought me to this time of prayer where, this is a funny story, I remember when I was I was 14 years old, freshman going into high school, and it was career day. So they were like, you know, plan out your whole entire life, you know, talk about what you want to do. You know, coming from an Asian family, the stereotypical things are doctor, lawyer, professor, anything that makes over six figures, you've got it, buddy.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the thing. There's an unbearable pressure from, I think, just like Asian families in general. Okay. Well, I'm not going to speak that for everyone, but just in mine, that there's this success that you have to have in life. This success over everything.
Whatever success means.
Yeah, whatever that means. And I was going to career day, and I like ready and had in my mind what I think that I wanted to do. And my dad asked me, he's like, what are you going to say to your guidance counselor? And I said to him, I want to do two things, Dad. Yeah. I want to be a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
And a YouTuber.
Dude, oh, that's every young man's dream.
Isn't
today.
That crazy?
Yeah, dude.
And my dad's response to that was, son, think of something practical. And I was like,
crushed, man.
Dude, I was crushed. I was crushed in that moment, you know, as a 14-year-old, when you've got your dreams ahead of you, and the first thing that you hear from your father when you try to step out and say, I want to do something, is think of something practical.
Hmm.
So I was in prayer, and I was in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and this is the thing about God, is that he doesn't forget that stuff. And I remember just asking him, I'm like, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? And he's like, you remember that memory? He's like, that memory of you and your dad, about how you wanted to do these things. In your earthly father, he said, think of something practical. And that moment just hit me, because I was like, what are you trying to say? He said, and I believe that the Lord was speaking to me. He says, son, I want you to believe that I can make all things work for your good, and I can heal parts of your heart that have been hurt and dry, and I want you to dream again. And that was just something that was like huge for me, because I was like, the Lord wants to renew and restore our dreams, even if they've been crushed 4 years ago, or how, I mean, no, not 4 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 2014. Now it's 2024.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to see that parallel, because, you know, like God can do things like that, but it might take 10 years to see those dreams unfold. And that was something that it's just so crazy to understand and realize. But going back to your question, I left Damascus because of that simple thing that God wants his church to dream again.
I'm struck, Jaden, by really everything you've just shared, your whole story, how similar it is to a lot of vocation stories I hear in the seminary, right? So you made this distinction between doing God's work and God's will. Mm-hmm. And I can remember even in my own life, like I was in college, I was playing basketball, I was involved in the Newman Center at my school, objectively good things, right? Doing in a sense, quote unquote, God's work.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but God had a particular plan for me, right? Yeah. And he does that. He has that particular plan for all of us. And the way that discernment takes place, you know, with regard to a vocation of the priesthood, oftentimes it's by being attentive to the desires that he places within us, right? So like I realized after a certain amount of time that God had placed this desire for the priesthood within me that I couldn't ignore.
Yeah.
And he had created my heart for this, and it was all leading in the same direction. And that's what allowed me to choose between these two competing goods, right? Because what I was doing was good, but what he had for me was also good, and it was what he had for me, right, specifically. And all that's to say that like this process of discerning your vocation, discerning where God's calling us, and I'm so glad you just shared all of this with us for our listeners. Like, that's not just something that seminarians and people in, in religious life do. It's like every Christian is called to radical holiness, and is called to do that in a way that God has specifically planned from all eternity for you to do, right?
Our Lord knows our hearts.
Okay? Yeah.
So it's like a very, very basic, but very profound truth. And, you know, he knew from a very young age, like you, what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, one of my big dreams was working with computers, something in technology. For some reason, that's just like the age in which we live in, the age in which we were cultivated, a lot of us.
That's why I love computers so
much. That's why he loves them. But I was raised in that. That was kind of my MO, you know, and that's what I loved. I loved like, technology. So that's one thing. And I also love like design, art.
Yeah.
From a very young age, I've always been motivated by art, music, these kinds of things. So there was a kind of a creative aspect to my persona from a very young age. Took up music, went to, you know, high school, played in band, college played in the band, but I always liked art and these kind of things. But I always wanted to somehow evangelize through the media. I don't know why, just always had this. So I studied marketing, I studied computer science in my undergrad so that I could do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what that meant. You know, I didn't know what that meant. And so we get to seminary, and by the grace of God, this podcast develops organically, really, through friendships, myself, Joey, and Sam, a guy who was with us initially. And so this project has come as a fruit from a desire he's placed in me, desire and capacity he's placed in Joey, desire and capacity he placed in Sam at the, you know, at the initiation of this project. And so it's been a great fruit precisely because I said, okay, Lord, I'll do this. Teach me how to do this and save me in the process. Mm-hmm. But also when I entered seminary, there's a quote that one of my spirit directors told me. He said, before I decided finally that I was going to, in fact, enter seminary, he said, Max, always remember that the God who made you is a God who saves you.
Yeah.
You know? And I asked him, what does that mean? Yeah. I don't get that. He says, Max, God's made you with a particular heart, particular desires, particular motivation, things that you look forward to, things that drive you. Hmm. And it's by allowing those to flower that God saves you. Hmm. They're not going to be easy, maybe.
Yeah.
And they're going to be unknown for a long time.
Yeah.
But if in prayer, in grace, in penance, in honesty, in humility, you follow those things, they will bear much fruit. And I think that's how the saint is made.
A lot of times we want to follow God on our own terms and not to follow God on God's terms.
Yes.
Right? So we think that we have this idea of the way it should all look. And what strikes me about your story, Max, is you had these desires from a very young age. In a sense, you kind of had to surrender all that to the Lord when you were like, okay, I'm going to go to seminary.
Yeah.
So in a sense, you almost like had to sacrifice it all because normally going to the seminary doesn't end up in like utilizing these gifts and talents that God had given you.
Not really.
So you just, it's through, this is the paradox. It's like God gives us these gifts and talents, some of which he plans on actualizing according to his own will. But in order for him to make the most of them, we have to surrender everything to him.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to be searching for him, not for the gifts themselves.
Exactly.
And then once we give him our hearts, he's going to be able to do more with those gifts than we ever would have been able to do on our own power, right? And I see that happening in your life, right? So like you've had this, I'm guessing you studied this stuff in college.
Yeah, exactly. So going into that story is like, dude, I used to work for ESPN. So I used to work for ESPN, had this like 4-year plan of once I graduate college, I'll be working for some big network, right? You know, fast forward, I'm working for Damascus and we're doing a bunch of awesome things, but I get invited to come to this conference, Seek 2024. Focus Catholic has invited me to be a Seek partner. And that in itself was a miracle because I wasn't really producing content at the time that was like, you know, where it is right now. Mm-hmm. But I was like, Lord, if you really want me to go all in for you again, you're going to have to make it abundantly clear that this is what you want me to do. And I get this invite from Focus Catholic to be a Seek partner. Have no idea why that happened, but that happened. And I go to Seek, and I'm like, I've been thinking about leaving my job, and I was in adoration. And I was like praying, I was in front of our Lord. I was like, Lord, if it is your will for me to give up everything once again, right? This is the crazy thing about God is that God doesn't tell us to take a leap of faith once. He tells us to take a leap over and over and over again. Father Jacques Philippe says that, you know, we all have a parachute on our back, right? In the adventure with Christ that we're called to take is to jump off a cliff. And we won't know if God is actually there if we don't give him the measure of what we trust. So if we measure God to just be this guy that's up in a cloud, that's what he's going to show us, because it's an active participation that we're called to partake in, you know? And so Father Jacques Philippe says, you won't know if God's actually there or if God actually works if you say and believe that he doesn't. If you act like he does, then you're going to see miracles in front of your own eyes. And I was faced with that decision at Seek. And I was like, Lord, if you want me to jump off this cliff, I'm going to freaking jump off this cliff, but you have to push me because you're the one that wants me to do this. You're the one that's in control of my life. And I heard nothing in adoration. And right after I left the adoration chapel, this woman comes up to me and we're like going down an escalator. And she says to me, how's the conference going? I've been bawling my eyes out in front of the Eucharist and God is not responding. I'm like, what is he doing? And I turn around. This woman says to me, she says, how's the conference going for you? And I look at her, I'm like crying. And I'm going to quit my job. And I'm like, I'm 23, you know, I'm in my first year of marriage. That's a bold thing to do. And she says to me, that might be the best thing that you could ever do. I'm like, what the heck?
Are you crazy, lady? You don't know me?
I'm like, this random lady, we're going down an escalator.
So then you punch her in the face and you ran up. And that's what I would do.
That's so funny. No, but then she delivers me a prophetic word. She delivers me this prophetic word. She says that if this is what God wants you to do, he'll have a priest confirm it. I'm like, do you know what you just said? You know, you're like speaking over my life right now. And moments later, I literally get this text message on my phone. And it's a text message from a friend. And he's in a talk to Father Mike Schmitz is giving a talk to all the campus ministers across America. And remember, this lady just said she gave me a prophetic word that a priest would confirm it. So Father Mike Schmitz, the priest of social media, literally sees one of my posts, quotes it in his talk to the campus ministers across America, and name drops me.
Whoa. This is normally where Max says, Father Mike Schmitz is so short.
He is. To be honest with you, I don't even know who that is.
This is the comedic relief right now.
Yeah, sorry. So, okay,
sorry. This is a big moment. You're getting this prophetic word being coming to real. That's crazy.
But the thing is like, why would he do that? Have you guys ever heard of Father Mike Schmitz randomly quoting a random guy on the internet?
No.
Exactly. And that's why that meant so much to me, because Jesus is so personal. He's so relational. He is so with us, you know, Emmanuel with us. God is so with us that for a random person's life, he would do this. For someone that is willing to follow God, he would do this. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it literally says that the eye of God is searching the earth back and forth for a faithful soul to follow him. And like just like the wording of that is just insane, because God's eye is searching the earth for souls to follow him. That's how desperate he is for us. That's how much he loves us. And so when we put ourselves on the line, when we go all in for Jesus, when we tell him, I'm ready to jump off this cliff for you, he'll do crazy, miraculous things like I just experienced. And so when I heard that Father Mike Schmitz quoted me and name drops me, that was so random.
As you're thinking about going to do social media
content. As I was about to quit my job.
And right, this woman told you.
And this woman gave me a prophetic word. She said, God will have a priest confirm me. Right after. Not even joking. In my head, I was like, all right, I'm done. You know, I quit. Because.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Because that was the moment where I realized, truly, Lord, you are who you say you are. And when we go all in for you, when the lay faithful goes in for you, you show up. You know, those the Psalms, you know, that he will never forsake us and he'll never fail us. Like, really reading that and like tangibly holding the scripture of God and reading that changed my life, because I was like, this is real. This is more real than I could ever imagine. And I'm on the front lines of this. And that's why I like literally left everything again, because like you're saying, God has a specific plan for each and every single one of us, a plan to use our gifts and talents in the best way possible. We just can't give up.
Okay. So it's funny until then, and then it's purposive, and then it's not funny anymore. You good? You
done? I have two questions.
Okay. He has two questions.
The first is, what did your wife think about all this?
This is a great question. What did she think about this?
Dude, that's a fantastic question. And this is why you want to, a Proverbs 31 woman.
What does that mean?
So Proverbs 31, it talks about how there's a woman of faith, and it literally goes on. You could probably read it after. But
me? Why me?
Yeah, I don't know. You asked why.
Woman of faith? Looking for a good woman?
Maybe you're looking for one.
I'm not, but thank you. You know, maybe, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that means for me. Surely that's not a prophetic word. I hope that's not a prophetic word, but.
I'm sorry, Lord.
It's okay, dude.
All right. No, but like, what did Lexi think of this? She was afraid.
She should be. I mean, not even a year of marriage.
And I tell her, you know, she's looking at her husband, and that's a big dreamer. And she's like, what? You're leaving for this, you know, to make videos?
Which at the time is like this, which is nothing.
Exactly, you know? Right.
And this, which is an idea at best, yeah.
So at the time, like, guys, to be totally transparent, like, I had 1,600 followers at the time. And it's like, that's nothing. Like, you know, I don't have any credibility to the world, that success or whatever. Yet the Lord is calling me to this. And so if he's calling me to this, you know, united in one flesh with my wife.
Yeah.
She would have to be on board, you know, because that's not just my decision to make. I can't just randomly say, I'm doing this without any of your input, because that would not honor her and cherish her, because this is a life decision.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you said
that. And I just told her my process. I just told her my process with the Lord. And being the woman that she is, she...
A Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll find you one day.
Yeah, we got to find you one,
bro. Are we joking or should I start crying now? What is that? Yeah. What's the threshold here? We're not going to read Proverbs 31, okay? They're not going to find me a woman. I guess it's a total joke.
If Father Mike Schmitz today posts a video.
I don't care if he does.
Quoting you, the Proverbs 31 woman, we're going to know. We're going to know someday.
Nah, preferably brunette. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. These are how normal they are, just by the way.
Yeah, just whatever, man.
What was the question?
Your wife got on board. She trusted you.
Yeah, exactly.
She trusted you.
She trusted me. Oh, that's right. Because this was something so cool because – when I was making this decision, how I said it to her, I remember saying it like, I'm your husband, right? And I'm going to be leading our family. But if I am not first being led by the Lord, how do you expect me to lead you? Hmm. How do you expect me to lead our children? How do you expect to lead for me to lead our family if I first cannot follow the Lord? And when I said it in that way to her, things changed because I want to be able to lead a family and I want to be able to look at my son and say to him, if God is calling you to something, I give you full permission to go all in for him because that's what he deserves. No matter what anyone else tells you, you have full permission to do that because your father has first done that. And I think genuinely that changes generational ties. That changes like generations because when the father of a family has faith, things will change because the family is the nucleus of the church and
the father is the head of that family.
Yeah. And if I can't say that I'm following the Lord with my whole life, how can I expect for them to follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can my life be worthy of following if I don't follow the life that is worthy of all?
Mm-hmm.
That's well said. And that was just something that was just like, she was just like, all right, you know, I'm like, you know, that's my man, you know, and I'm going to follow my man into battle, into war, because, you know, I'm going to dream big, man. And I'm going to dream big for God because that's what the church needs. Mm-hmm. The church doesn't need people to hide. The church doesn't need people to run away from what God's calling them to. Yeah. The church needs men, especially, to take the forefront and freaking lead, man.
Yeah, and JP2, that's why I love JP2 so much. That when I think of a man of the church, I think of him, right?
Yeah.
Do not be afraid.
Right.
I mean, I know that's colloquially and you almost even become cheesy because everybody quotes it, but it's a deep, deep truth.
Yes, absolutely.
Do not be afraid. That's kind of why we jumped into it. And that's not to say, you know, if you're a man listening to this, a father listening to this, that if you don't dream big or if you don't maybe leave the world or leave your job to follow, that doesn't mean in any way that you're not leading by example. You could very well be sanctifying your home in the ordinary life that you're given, right? And so I think it's important to recognize that Jaden here had a particular encounter with our Lord calling him to this particular task, and in his conviction and his conscience and what he could perceive and reason, this is the way he was called to sanctify his family.
I love how you said that.
Jaden, why do you think creating Catholic content on social media is important?
Dude, that's such a good, you know, I'm asking myself that question every single day.
Also, can I just ask you a little more philosophical question? Because this is something I just battled with. Maybe I just would like to get your take. Backing off of that saying, what is Catholic content?
Yeah.
Because Catholics, as Christians, our content is our deposit of faith.
Yes.
Right? The dogmatic teachings of the church, that's our content.
Yeah.
But I think that the relationship between the content of our faith, if you will, and how we portray that to the world is maybe what we're talking about. I don't know. That's
just a question.
There's a bug in my water.
Do it. Hey, do it.
Oh, my gosh. Do it. That's so funny.
I'm glad you didn't, dude. Gosh, that would have been terrible.
I think, going off that question, that's an awesome, fantastic question. What is Catholic content? Honestly, in the lens that I view it, it's going to be pretty subjective. But
typically through a Sony lens. It's a good joke. Come on.
That was all right. I got you, bro. No, I would say someone said to me, they were like, hey, when you're doing this, make sure that you're telling a story. Because people want to follow a story.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of a way of like being like, hey, don't get prideful once you get big or something like that. I'm like, dude, vanity is everywhere, bro. And like wherever you go, vanity is going to be, sure. You know, just because there's a platform and an audience doesn't mean that I won't be vain in a different place where there is none. Sin is everywhere. Anyways, that's besides the point. He said that to me and I said to him in response, I was like, the greatest story that I could ever tell is how I gave my life up for Jesus. And I honestly think that's what Catholic content is. Catholic mm-hmm. content is portraying to the world that giving your life for the sake of the gospel is worth everything. Mm. That's what I would say is the good news. That's what I would say Catholic content is, because that's the gospel. Mm. That when we lay down our lives, that when we profess that Jesus Christ saved us from our sins and he died and rose for us, that is what Catholic content is that when we get to participate in that and demonstrate that to others through various forms of art,
sure.
Video and photo, that's exactly what Catholic content is, because it's not just a niche.
Sure.
Catholicism isn't a niche on the internet.
It's a universal.
Exactly. Because you see it in every single piece of art. You look at anything that is good, everything that is good stems back to who God is.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
That was a good question. Thank you. That was a good answer, too. I have another question.
Did we answer your first question, Joey? I know I answered that after I asked that question.
It was why?
Why do you want to do Catholic content creation? That was, let's answer that. Let me ask that, and then I'll ask the second one.
So, right, harping back on what I said earlier in the podcast, is that wasn't it the faith of others that caused us to believe?
Hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't it the faith of others? And I remember my first encounter with the Lord was because someone believed in him. When you see someone believe in something, it moves you.
Which is, by the way, sorry to interrupt. That's true of every single Christian, because our faith is built on the foundation of what? The apostles, right? Jesus set things up in such a way that he wasn't still here, visible, walking around with us. He wanted our faith to be based on their witness of laying down their lives because they saw the risen Lord.
And in that way, we enter into the incarnational principle of the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? So like, in entering into communion with Jaden, with Joey, with our Lord, we're entering into something that's, I mean, God is with us. That's a real principle in which we do. And I just one last thing before you go on this idea of belief, which I think you absolutely should. One of the things that Joseph Ratzinger or Pope Benedict talks about regarding belief, he says it's an existential decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something that is intellectual, though the heart, it's grace moving to you.
Yeah.
That necessarily gives you meaning in life.
Yeah.
It gives you purpose.
Yeah.
It's something deep and profound.
Yes. Yeah. That is what it is. It's we get to willingly choose to follow him. And so why I make content is because there's so many people on this earth that are desperate to know what it's like to fully be alive, right? In John 10:10 it says that I come that you may have life and have it abundantly, but people forget like the verse before that or the phrase before that. And it says that a thief comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. So there's two things. There's two promises that the Lord makes to us. He says that there's going to be a thief that comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And the second promise is that I come that you may have life and have it abundantly.
No.
So how many people, you know, experience the gospel in this way of their lives look terrible. It's stolen, slaughtered, and destroyed, but they don't stick around long enough to experience the second half of that.
Yeah.
That Jesus came that we would have life, and that in that desperation, you know, in that place where we're greatly afflicted, in Psalm 116, it says that we were greatly afflicted, but I still believed in you. That if we just endure through that moment, you know, and just make it to right here where God turns ugly things into miracles, when God takes graves and turns them into gardens, if I can play any part in that, you know, in this world, in right now, there's 2/3 of the population have social media. So you're saying to me,
in the world,
that is, you're crazy. Saying that 8 billion people have social media. You're saying 2/3 of that, that's like 4.6 or something like that. 2/3 of that, of those people on their phones, I have access and I have a platform to speak to them, and they get to choose whether or not to engage in that. Why wouldn't I do that? Yeah. Why wouldn't I do that if God has given me the grace and the gifts and talents to do that?
Here's a question and a reason why you wouldn't do it. So this is my second question. What would you say to somebody who's like, Jaden, what you're doing is stupid because social media is ruining people's lives.
Yeah.
We should get them off their phones rather than encourage them to be on their phones.
And can I just say that's something that when we were first starting this project, that's we asked ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, as a project. But so what do you say to that?
I'd say, where's your lens at? Well, how are you?
It's a Canon. Sorry, Max already made that joke.
I would. Yeah. Like what, how, what's your perspective? What's your perspective on social media? Because if you're coming from that direction, it sounds like you've only experienced the first half of that gospel promise. Mm.
I think it's like, what's your vision of reality generally? You know, and maybe, sorry to cut you off, Jaden, but I think people's oftentimes experience with social media is something deeper. Is something deeper than just, I hate phones. I think oftentimes it's deeper of like, I've encountered things that have hurt me.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And this is another thing that does similar to what has hurt me in the past. Yes. It does something similar to that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's like a almost a psychological kind of reservation. But there are some objective realities that I think need to be acknowledged in the dangers within social media.
Yeah, I mean, anxiety, depression rates going through the roof, people addicted to their phones. I don't think this is overall a good thing for society.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they are there.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. So then the question comes to, do we leave them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't.
Or do we go get them? Let's go get them.
Yeah. You know? Like the mission, you know, that John Donahue
does
that, has a beautiful example, which is, I've carried it through. Joey and I have spoken about it. It's like it's an island with the lepers, you know? What did the saints do? They entered. They got in there. Yeah. They got dirty. And some of them even died.
Yeah.
You know? And now obviously we're not asking you to die or to be afflicted by necessarily the errors of or the dangers of social media. But we are saying that there has to be a risk we take and we accept as Christians, you know? And I think this is one of the ways that we jump into the deep, if you will, not exactly knowing everything. And this has been a learning process for Joey and I, speaking for our project, this has been a learning process for us. Mm-hmm. How do we use tech? What responsibilities go with guests, bringing them on? And it's been a growing process, how we formulate our content, how we get donors, all this stuff has been something new to us. I assume similar with you, Jay. And it's like, we're learning how to do this, integrate ourselves into our work and bring our Lord and help him guide this in the way that he wants to, which may mean, no, don't continue or don't do it in this way, or right now, you know?
I think it's interesting because it's like, well, why is that happening? Why is the Lord doing this? And I think it's because he's raising up a new generation to reach the audience that he needs to reach. And so it's actually so funny because the USCCB, the Bishops of America, they met 13 years ago. And they begged this question of the internet. What do we do about the internet? And they made the remarks that if the Catholic Church is not on mobile devices, then it doesn't exist. So the USCCB, they said that this is like a digital continent that people are. They buy things, they live there, and, you know, whatever they want, they get it, you know, instantly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is a continent. And so the Bishops of America literally discussed, they were like, we don't need to change the church's teachings. We just need to deliver it in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was something that like really convicted me, because they said that the internet has the same markings, the fundamental, like it has the same fundamental shift in communication patterns as the printing press
did.
And the printing press came out 500 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. So we are in the midst. We are in the midst of using the tools and instruments of society today, mm-hmm. for the gospel, for Jesus.
I want to tap into something you just said. I think social media, what it does is it allows us and gives us the ability to affirm what you said earlier, mm-hmm. to portray the story.
Yes.
The narrative mm-hmm. of the Christian life.
Yeah.
Not just like my Christian life or your Christian life or Joey's Christian life, but like the objective nature of how our Lord moves and shapes us. And people are seeing an assertive way, I don't want to speak too generally here, but kind of how our Lord is alive in us, how grace is working in us, hopefully through our conversations. Like they're seeing the fruits, at least, of our conversations with our Lord. Mm-hmm. And this is what's, I think, made people like Jordan Peterson, Jonathan Paggio, Monsignor Shea, Father Mike Schmitz, all these guys popular amidst a sort of philosophical, theological, intellectual body, psychological, because they tapped into this narrative lens. They've tapped into this Bishop Barron, obviously, like the story of reality, right? And so scripture is able to become alive well in that because that scripture is, you know,
the story.
The story. Mm. Yeah. Mythopoeticism is what JP2 calls it.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and so like we're able to portray this through social media, the truths of the faith. You can do that with the truths of the faith. You can do that with the gospel, with our own lives. And I think the church is uniquely positioned through her metaphysical principles. Well, right now in time, but also through her metaphysical principles of good, true, and the beautiful. She's uniquely positioned to draw those out because she has a 2,000-year tradition of teaching us how to be a creative people that's objectively beautiful, good, and true, and salvific.
Yes.
I totally agree. I think there's one distinction I want to make with regard to the printing press analogy you made up, which I think is a great lens through which to view this kind of moment in history that we're in, right? The printing press changed everything, changed the way that communication took place, the information was disseminated, transformed society. A similar thing has happened with the internet, now social media, soon artificial intelligence. It's all going to be there.
Absolutely.
I think the difference between the situation that we're in now and what people were experiencing with the printing press is that now people are on this continent. They're living on this continent of the internet, of social media, but they're trapped there.
Yeah.
And many of them can't escape. Many of them are addicted and enslaved to these forces that are bigger than they have any idea of, right? These,
and even the ones who created it don't have the idea of how exactly it's affecting you.
So I think what we need to go to the continent. We need to be there. We need to preach the gospel there. But I also think we need to see it as a rescue mission.
A rescue mission.
As like, let's get him out of there. In a certain sense, you know, let's release them from these chains, train them in freedom, and then help them re-engage with this thing in such a way that they can do it in control of themselves rather than being controlled by it, and that they can use it as a tool to preach the gospel rather than being used by it as a tool. You know,
so
what I mean?
Are you saying that Catholic content creators are knights? We go in there and we save people. I'm just saying, if we are knights, that'd be cool.
You know, for his girl, you know.
First, brother, first twice. Hey,
31.
Jayden, twice.
First girl.
Twice. That's three times, Jayden. It's third time. You know, God intended it in threes, I suppose. You know, but yeah.
There's the Proverbs 31 girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, bro. Yeah, that's right. That's
and she's a brunette.
That's exactly what I was talking about, bro.
That's a beautiful picture of our blessed mother.
Yeah.
For those who didn't see it.
Good stuff, man. Really good stuff.
Yeah, Jayden, I'm
excited for what you're doing. I've seen some of your videos now, and they're good. So you've taken this approach of you're kind of creating a personal brand, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to show people the adventure of Catholicism in your life.
In your life. Exactly. And through your lens. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, right? So I think that the church is awesome, right? And there's so many different ways to do things, and the Lord has specifically called me to do it in this way. Because guess what? If we all build brands, if we all build X, Y, and Z, and there's no individuality, then how does the normal individual person know that this is for them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something unique that the Lord has gotten on my life, but it's also, exciting because what I'm doing right now is I'm seeing the need, right? You look at the celebrities. You could tell where society is going based off of the celebrities. And you've got your, right, what are high schoolers, who are high school men looking to be their idol. Mm-hmm. I would guarantee you that you've got your Logan Pauls, you got your Jake Pauls, you got your
Theo Vaughns, Shane Gillis.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And then you just got like all these people, right, that aren't necessarily the virtuous people,
right,
that our young men / women should be looking for. You know, I want to, it comes to this point of like, do we want the younger generation to become these people? Like, I literally look outside and look at people's haircuts. I guarantee you, you'll find a young, like a high schooler with some floppy hair. And the reason why that they're in a mullet, the reason why that's happening is because they're looking at what society is saying a man is. What a man is. Yeah. And it's just so difficult. It's so difficult because then it's like, well, truly, do I want to live my life like that person? Do I want the $1 million home? Do I want the Tesla, right? Do I want all these things and still feel how I started this whole entire thing? And I think the reason why I'm like making this personal brand is because it's a journey, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to start. This is the heroic journey that God has on each and every single one of our lives. Mm-hmm. That we were destined for adventure, right? JP2 says that. He says that life with Christ is a wonderful adventure. So we're destined for an adventure. But when we go on this adventure, we cannot end the adventure the same way that we started. Because guess what? There's a change that happens in the journey. In the heroic journey, something happens to you. Something literally happens to you. And you end that journey, God willing, in heaven, not starting the same way.
Yeah.
And that is so beautiful. But if there's not a person, and that's not a priest or not a religious, but a lay person. If there's not a lay person representing this, that this is possible, mm-hmm. that this is legitimately possible for every single person on this earth.
Even just a regular guy.
Yeah.
That we found in a tea shop.
Exactly.
Drinking bubble tea.
If that could be possible, how many other people can be like, I could do that too.
Yeah.
That's what we need. That is what we need, and we need more of that. Mm. And fortunately enough, there's an easy way to show people that, and that's the gift of social media.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff, dude. That's really good stuff.
Yeah.
This has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Tell us to our listeners, where can we find you?
Yeah.
Any new projects? Anything you got in mind? Jaden, this has been obviously a great conversation, but yeah, tell our listeners.
Yeah, so you guys can follow my stuff. I'm planning on getting things rocking and rolling on Instagram and YouTube, but right now I'm on Instagram, not on TikTok yet because I'm not at that vineyard yet.
It's a hard vineyard, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and we've got to get there. We've got to get everywhere, but you can find me on Instagram at Jaden Ramirez and then on YouTube at Jaden Ramirez too as well.
We'll tag them on our stuff
and let you know.
Yeah. So, Jaden, thank you.
Check him out. Support him. Yeah. Thank you for what you're doing. I agree. I think that what you're doing is worthwhile and that people are going to be drawn to the Lord through you. So keep pointing them back to him. You know what I mean?
And take care of your wife.
That's right. That's right.
That's you, the way you're going to go to heaven, Jaden.
Exactly.
Is by being faithful to your
exactly.
wife.
Exactly.
I've met your wife. She's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the future of this adventure for you, and God bless your project, our project, and listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode. You know, if you've listened this far, you're probably willing and able to subscribe and like our stuff, so please do that.
That would be helpful.
Also check out Jaden's stuff, guys. That's it for Logos Podcast today. So as always, God bless.